evening with Sandra.
Okay. I will be reading Luke 22, verses 7 to 13, the Last Supper. Now the festival of unleavened bread arrived when the Passover lamb is sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead and said, "Go and prepare the Passover meal so we can eat it together." "Where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked him. He replied, "As soon as you enter Jerusalem, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you there. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That is where you should prepare our meal." They went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus said, and they prepared the Passover meal there.
From Luke 22, verse 14. I'm sorry, Sandra, did you want to say something?
No.
Okay. Didn't pause too long. Luke 22, verse 14, the scripture immediately after Sandra's verse says, "When the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom comes.' And then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood. But the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined. But woe to that one by whom he is betrayed.' They began to ask one another, 'Which one of them could it be who would do this?' Simon. Oh, man, I missed a whole part of my scripture. Hold on a second. I copied and pasted it from somewhere, but there's a few verses missing. My apologies. Let me find it quick here. Because this is all important parts. Okay, so they started asking each other, who could it be who would do this? And a dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was considered to be the greatest. And Jesus said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors, but you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules is like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials. And I confer on you a kingdom just as my Father conferred one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, mm-hmm. Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. But when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. He replied, Lord, I'm going to go with you to prison and to death. And Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. I'll stop there. So that's a long passage, and I apologize for the interruption. So during this Passover meal, so many things happen, right? This was, if you celebrate a Maundy Thursday service, you usually celebrate foot washing, right? So during the Passover supper, Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Remember, he talks about being a servant, how important it is for us to be servants and to care for each other, that the greatest among us needs to be a servant. Jesus lays before us this this remembrance, the communion, the practice of communion, so that we can remember that his body was broken for us and that his blood was shed for us. And here he also talks about the betrayal, right? He talks about Judas's betrayal. He talks about how Judas is going to betray him and also how Peter is going to deny him. This Last Supper is just, I mean, if you read the different versions of the Gospels, this Last Supper is just a packed meal. Jesus put so much into it. But what we want to just celebrate tonight is the part where Jesus asks us to remember him and to do this in remembrance of him. So let's just stop a minute in our scripture readings. And let's get our bread and juice or wine ready. And let's just take a moment and in unity remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, and the very sacrifice that we are spending time tonight to look at in detail. So the Bible says that Jesus says that he took the bread, and that when he had given thanks, he broke the bread. Break a little piece off for yourself, whatever bread that you have. And Jesus said, this is my body, which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now we know that the scriptures that we'll read tonight, we'll find that Jesus' body was broken, it was whipped, was scourged, he was insulted by and mocked by people. His body was completely beat up and broken, and he had to carry this cross, the very cross on which he was going to be crucified. We know that his body, that nails were pounded into his hands and feet, and that he was on the cross in such a way that he asphyxiated there, that he couldn't breathe. He finally gave up his last breath. So we think about this body that was broken for us in so many ways, his physical body, all the things that he went through. And so we remember that this body was broken for us so that we can be free of sin, that we can have salvation. So think about those things this evening as we eat this bread in memory of Jesus.
It now?
You can eat the bread now, yes. And then the scripture also says that he takes the cup and he says that this cup that is poured out for you is the covenant of my blood. And we know that from the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed and was so anguished that he shed tears of blood We know that his blood was shed again through the many different whippings and scourgings that he went through. We know that his blood was shed in the nails. They stuck a sword into his side. We know that this blood that Jesus shed for us now is the same blood that cleanses us from our sins. And so we take, and that creates a new covenant for us, right? So we're not under the old covenant of sacrifice, but Jesus made the sacrifice once and for all. So now we are now under a covenant of grace. God's grace covers us. So we take and drink this juice this evening in memory of Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. You may drink the cup. Lord, we do all this in each in our own home, Lord, in our own spaces. But we do it, Lord, as the body of Christ. We do it, Lord, as your people, and we do it together so that we can, with one heart and one mind and one spirit, remember you and remember what you have done for us. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you. We're going to continue now with the readings, and I'm going to ask Linda to read.
I'm going to be reading from Matthew 26, 36 to 46. And this follows immediately after they had the supper together. Then Jesus brought them to a garden grove called Gethsemane and told them to sit down and wait while he went on ahead to pray. He took Peter with him and Zebedee's two sons, James and John. And he began to be filled with anguish and despair. Then he told them, "My soul is crushed with horror and sadness to the point of death. Stay here, but stay awake with me." He went forward a little and fell face downward on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup be taken away from me, but I want your will, not mine." Then he returned to the three disciples and found them asleep. "Peter," he called, "couldn't you even stay awake with me 1 hour? Keep alert and pray. Otherwise, temptation will overpower you. For the spirit indeed is willing, but how weak the body is." Again, he left them and prayed, "My Father, if this cup cannot go away until I drink it all, your will be done." He returned to them again and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So he went back to pray the third time, saying the same things again. Then he came to the disciples and said, "Sleep on now and take your rest. But no, the time has come. I am betrayed unto the hands of evil men. Up. Let's be going. Look, here comes the man who is betraying me." Mm-hmm. It just seems like after all of the, at the supper, when they all proclaimed that they loved him so much, and now he is in this terrible time of anguish, they already were beginning to betray and separate themselves from him. I found this a very sad portion of scripture to read.
Mm-hmm. I think Jeff is next.
All right. Matthew 26:47 to 54. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd, armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man, arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." Then the man stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled.
So I'm reading from Matthew 26, 57 to 66, and it's Jesus before the Sanhedrin. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days." Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." "You have said so," Jesus replied. "But I say to all of you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look now, you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" "He is worthy of death," they answered.
So we're thinking again about this, the light of Jesus, right? We start out with this Passover dinner. Jesus teaches them all kinds of things, right? He talks about being betrayed. He knows what's coming. He serves them. He washes their feet. And then you see the progression, right? You see the Garden of Gethsemane, where he surrenders his will to do God's will. And then we see him being arrested. Judas gives him a kiss on the cheek, and that shows the guards who he is, and the disciples have all now fled. When Jesus goes to the high priest, goes in front of the high priest, they question him, and the final thing that Kathy read is that he deserves death, right? The death's pronouncement. Hank is going to read another section for us from Luke.
Martha, I didn't get your...
Oh, you didn't get it?
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. Luke 23, verse 13 to 25.
13 to 25. Yes. It's about Pilate.
Yes. Pilate.
Hank, can you move a little closer maybe to the...
Okay. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." With one voice, they cried out, "Away with this man. Release Barabbas to us. Barabbas has been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder." Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time, he spoke to them, "Why, what crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for the insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will.
I think Kim is next.
I'm going to be reading Luke 23, verses 26 through 30. "Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simeon, a Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, Blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, and beasts which never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us.'" When I started to go over my reading, I went through the other four Gospels, and it was amazing how none of the other four Gospels that I could find talked about how the women mourned and wept for him. Although I'm not sure why he said, "Blessed are the barren, or the wombs that never bore," I just found it amazing that the Mark, Luke, and John never brought this up. And they do say, however, that Luke was the one that represented Jesus in the most passionate way. So that was what I found so amazing.
Janine?
I'll be reading from John 19, 25 through 27. "Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, 'Dear woman, here is your son.' And he said to this disciple, 'Here is your mother.' And from then on, this disciple took her into his home." I guess I remember in the movie, this verse always struck me. Not quite sure all the reasons why. I guess the very last thing that Jesus is saying, other than, you know, his needs for thirst, was to command his disciple to take care of his mother and his aunt and Mary Magdalene. So the very last things he was saying were to love and take care of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's it.
Nice.
I'll be reading from Matthew 27:45-51. That afternoon, the whole earth was covered with darkness for 3 hours, from noon until 3 o'clock. About 3 o'clock, Jesus shouted, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and held it up to him to drink. But the rest said, "Leave him alone. Let's see whether Elijah will come and save him." Then Jesus shouted out again, dismissed his spirit, and died. And look, the curtain secluding the holiest place in the temple was split apart from top to bottom, and the earth shook and rocks broke and tombs opened, and many godly men and women who had died came back to life again.
Kim?
I'll be reading Luke 23:50-55. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision and deed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. Then he went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. I think it is so kind that maybe not kind, but it's just, this is one part that, like Janine said, always kind of like stands out to me, that another just loving. Here was this man from Armenia. He didn't agree with their decision. He was Jewish, but yet he took Jesus's body. The women came with him, and they laid him softly, I believe, to rest. And it just, it speaks volumes. I just think it speaks volumes.
So these particular scriptures were chosen tonight to create a frame for us for Jesus' journey. From last Sunday, we celebrated Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, and through to Thursday, where he celebrates the Passover. He goes to the Mount of Olives and prays. He's arrested. He's taken before the Jewish leaders. He's taken before Pilate. He's taken before Herod, back to Pilate. The people yell out, "Crucify him." He begins his journey with the cross up the hill to Golgotha. You see his interactions along the way, his concern for the daughters of Jerusalem who are weeping for him, concern for his mother. You see how he continues to stand quietly before his accusers. And you see his surrender to God. He takes his last breath. He gives up his spirit even as he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you see the people around him, the disciples who fled, you see the women who stayed, you see the men like Joseph who risked themselves afterwards to give a tomb. The story has so many sides and so many side trips. We could spend each Good Friday, we could read different scriptures and still not be able to read all of the stories. Like Kim said, she had to go to another gospel to see if, you know, she could find these stories, right? The stories are different in each gospel, but it gives us a fuller idea of what this experience was for Jesus. And so I encourage you last Sunday to read some of these scriptures, and I encourage you now to continue to read them, until Easter, until Sunday morning. Continue to experience what it is that that Christ went through for us, right? So that we can fully appreciate the sacrifice. So that when we have communion, it's not something that's just, you know, something that we do, but it's something that actually has deep meaning for us because of our gratitude for Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. We're going to sing one more song, and then I'm going to have a closing prayer, and I'm going to invite us tonight not to chat after the prayer, but just to leave the meeting, knowing that we will join back together in this different way this Easter. But we will come back together on Resurrection Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I just want to remind you before we go into the song that I am inviting you, if you want to, if you're able to come early on Sunday morning, anytime between sunrise and 9 o'clock, to walk the prayer walk behind the church. I do want to encourage you to remember that we're living in a different time, and so if you do see someone there, please greet them from a distance. You can shout out to them, he is risen indeed. And then we will meet together online at 10 o'clock on Sunday. Let's sing a song and have a closing prayer then after the song. The light of hope went out for them. The light of peace went out for them. The light of joy went out, and for them, the light of love went out. The light of Jesus for them went out. Dear God, we pray tonight for the places and the people that live without you, for people who live without your love and your peace and your hope, without your grace, without your light, Lord. We pray for people who live in despair. And we pray, Lord, that as we consider your sacrifice, Lord, that we would consider how we can live as light and hope and peace and love. We pray, Lord, that as we come together on Resurrection Sunday, on Easter, Lord, that we will celebrate with a new joy, with a new peace, with new hope, because of the life that you have created in us, because of the light that you have given us. Lord, we help us to spend some time
and reflection so that we can more deeply understand the plans that you have for us and the message that we carry within us. Thank you for this time that we've had together this evening. I thank you for everyone who was willing to share and contribute and read scripture, Lord. We just pray that your words would stay with us, that your spirit would continue to do its good work in us. We pray, Lord, that you would bless each person who's joined us tonight, Lord, and each person who's part of our congregation and friends of ours, Lord. We just pray your blessing on each person tonight. And we just look forward to being together on Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good evening, and we'll see you on Sunday morning. God bless you. Amen.